This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business. Back in April, around the beginning of the MCO, I received an email from someone. It was talking about a fitness education center in Damansara Perdana called the Fitness Innovations Malaysia, FITM. And they offer health and fitness courses to fitness enthusiasts and fitness professionals. I've been doing that since around 2007. And then in 2019, they expanded their business under the name of the FEA Group, Fitness Edutraining Asia, to being a course provider in Asia. And of course, during the MCO, they lost a lot of business. Back in April, I think it was around only 5%. They only reached 5% of their expected budget. And for the FEA group, business was zero as they couldn't travel to teach. Now, this was back in April. To speak to me about this, I have the co-founder, the managing director, and a fitness educator. It is Jerrican Tan. Hi, Jerrican.
Hello. Hi.
Thanks for joining me on the show today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So that was the situation back in April, Jerrican. How have things changed as of today?
With regards to our business for FITM, which is a school for fitness education, I would say that ever after we are allowed to open, we see a huge spike in the number of people who want to be personal trainers.
Really?
So, in fact, they are. This is surprising for us. In fact, most of our intakes are now full.
Mm.
That I'm also surprised why more and more people want to be personal trainers. But I think one of the reasons, because some of them probably lost jobs from other industry.
Right.
And they are looking at personal training as their new avenue, most probably. But I'm not 100% sure.
So at first you guys were panicking about there being no business, and now all of a sudden you're kind of overwhelmed almost.
Yeah, it's the good news.
Well, it's a good place to be right now. Okay,
can I
just rewind a little bit and talk about in 2007 when you decided to start this kind of business? What were you doing beforehand, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure, I was a personal trainer, and I was also a fitness manager of a large fitness chain in Malaysia.
Right.
At that point of time, one of my role is actually to hire people to be personal trainers to fill out my team.
Yeah.
But I realized that process is a little bit difficult because we don't, I would say it's kind of difficult to find talents and skills in this industry because there's no education center.
Mm. When you talk about talents and skills, what specifically for you would indicate that somebody would make a good trainer?
I would say one of the things would be you got to be certified. Right. That's to provide the public with some assurance that what they do is safe.
Yeah.
And of course, I would say what actually contributes to them being successful will be how they connect with clients and also the experience working out with clients.
Mm. It's and you said you found it difficult to find the right kind of people. Right.
Yeah,
and so
that's true.
Did you sit down and kind of craft your own course, your own syllabus to kind of help create almost that perfect trainer?
No. I was lucky, in fact, because when I started in 2007, I actually got a license to run a certification course from American Council on Exercise.
So I see.
So we actually followed that syllabus.
Mm-hmm. And how different is it to what you might see normally locally?
We don't really have much local courses, personal training courses.
Mm.
We don't not really available in our country. So, I mean, in most parts of Asia, that's normal because fitness industry is actually very new in Asia.
Yeah.
Very, very new. So what happens in Asia is a lot of the countries, we actually adapt we actually take in certifications from the Americans.
I see. So let's just fast forward a little bit then. And when we're talking about the kind of beginning of the MCO, I was communicating with one of your colleagues, Kim. And I was saying, a lot of SMEs right now are really suffering. And I said, what are you doing during the MCO? And she was talking about how some of the courses have been switched to virtual courses using Zoom. You're offering discounts on both virtual courses and normal courses. And because a lot of people were sat at home doing virtual learning and e-learning and stuff. But a lot of your target audiences back then, of course, are fitness professionals. And of course, when there's no sessions, there's no income. And a lot of people were doing those online courses for free of charge. And if they were doing them for free of charge, the only way they could get money, I guess, was from donations. If people wanted to donate, how did you kind of compete with that during that time?
In fact, I would say 70 to 80% of the people that sign up our courses during the MCO, these are non-fitness professionals. These are people who want to be fitness professionals.
Mm.
So we actually managed to get these people. So I would say money is not an issue, a big issue for them.
Mm.
But for fitness professionals, we couldn't run a lot of their courses because a lot of them are mainly practical.
Yeah.
So we created, we call it the mini virtuals.
Ah.
So we have like 90-minute session, which just to keep things going on and pay our bills. Yeah, so we created many of these mini virtuals on the spot.
Right.
Yeah, that is for a fitness professional.
And I suppose you guys, you know, who are kind of, you know, you're used to being physical, you're used to being around people, you're used to doing all of these. It must have been a difficult period for you guys.
Yeah, it's, I mean, many of the learnings, I mean, I'm one of the teachers. I find it so difficult to teach online because we are teaching people how to teach.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like trying to teach swimming online, you know?
Yeah. Odd that you say that. I did actually interview somebody who was teaching people how to swim online. Yeah. And at first I'm like, exactly. That was my question. How do you do that? Yeah, they had managed to do it. And you know, they made it into a success as well. So, you know, there are inspiring stories coming out of this. Mm. I mean, and what I find interesting is how companies like yours have kind of moved around and pivoted. And then, you know, things after the MCO have changed for the positive. Do you now see things in a more positive outlook, do you think?
Yeah. I definitely think things are more positive because more and more people wanting to get into the industry. So they will think about us as their platform to get started. So we're happy.
Good. Okay, let's take a break here, Jerrican. When we come back, let's perhaps talk about your future plans and maybe what you're looking at for then. You are listening to Open for Business with me, Rich Bradbury, and Jerrican Tan on the line. He is from the Fitness Innovations Malaysia and the FEA Group. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business. I'm on the line with Jerrican Tan. He's the co-founder, the managing director and fitness educator for Fitness Innovations Malaysia. And they've expanded last year under the name of the FEA Group, Fitness Edu Training Asia. Jerrican, so that expansion, I guess, in 2019, you must have been doing well up until that point and when you decided to expand. Can we talk a little bit about the numbers up until that point? How well you were doing, where your finances may have come from and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so that particular business of ours, through the FEA, Fitness Edu Training Asia, what we do is we provide courses to organizations like FITM in other countries.
Right.
So what I think is an advantage to us is that because most fitness education companies, they are mainly from Australia or from the US and they are very expensive.
Mm.
So one of our edge is that because we are Asia, so it's easy for us to get there.
Yeah.
And our prices are very attractive and yet you get international standard education.
Mm.
So that as we all know that the fitness industry is very new in Asia. So we approach many, many countries over Asia and we are very well accepted because of our pricing and the quality of our education. So numbers were actually climbing. People actually starts to have more confidence in us.
Which countries are you in right now?
Many. I would say every country in Asia except Japan, Korea, Laos, Hong Kong.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is some pretty big expansion.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we work with people like FITM in other countries. So we need a host there to bring in our courses.
Mm. And what's the kind of logistics of that like? How difficult is it to stay organized?
I would say it's not difficult at all. It's just that we got to work on the scheduling with them and our own edu trainers who will need to travel to their locations. Mm. So I would say logistically, it's not difficult because in Asia, there are many connecting flights all over. I mean, travel is easy.
Mm. And when you send these people out to train other people for the courses, how long are they normally out of the country for? How long are they teaching for?
Courses ranges from a two-day workshop, as long as a six-day workshop.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, so it's not very long, so it's feasible for us.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about future expansion plans, perhaps. And also, whilst we're on the topic, I suppose we should probably touch on the idea of the situation that we're in right here in Malaysia as well, because for a while, everybody thought things were getting better and the curve was flattened and we were doing well and everybody was kind of cheering and doing their own thing. And now, of course, we get slapped with another CMCO here in KL and, the Klang Valley. How do you think that's going to affect your business moving forward now?
Currently, it's affecting FEA a lot because our revenue stream is now near zero. The only income we get is from licensing fee for some of the courses that are run by the locals there.
Right.
So I really hope that the border will be open. That's the plan is awaiting the border to be open, then we can do what we have originally planned, is to bring in more courses and to be more, I would say, consistent and frequent in our offering. Because right now, we can't do much at this moment.
In terms of a contingency plan, what did you have? Yeah. That's your contingency plan, huh?
Contingency plan will be to actually switch to some other modality of a courses that can be run virtually.
Right.
Because right now, many of our courses are heavily unpractical.
Right.
So that is the reason why we couldn't run this on an online basis.
Mm.
But I also have another plan now is to train up locals there.
Yeah.
Through virtual
to
teach the courses. That's our second contingency plan.
And how would that affect your kind of bottom line? Would you be changing the charges?
I think it definitely affects a lot because it's very hard to control the quality of the delivery if I can't, or the lead educator cannot be the one training the person up.
Sure.
So I think quality will be something that we need to look a little bit more serious on because we can't actually be there and watch them how they teach.
Mm.
So that is something we have to look into.
And it's very different from watching a video, somebody demonstrating, to somebody actually talking you through it and demonstrating it, live and having that kind of instant feedback, right?
Yeah, because we are training people to teach others.
Yeah.
So that's hard.
It must be frustrating, Jericho.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, FEA is like our new baby, We are proud as a Malaysian, it's a Malaysian brand, and we are trying to get this out of, Malaysia, and it's recognized in Asia, So, I mean, it's really frustrating when we know that this process, we are stopped by this pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Okay, well, let's try and make things positive. Let's put a positive spin on this. We can imagine for 5 minutes that the pandemic has gone. We've found for those people that are tuning in, we haven't found a cure or a vaccine yet, but for a moment, we're going to imagine that we have. Where would you go with that? If you had carte blanche, if everything was okay, what would the FEA group and FITM be doing in the future?
Okay, so in the event this is over.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will continue at our plans to bring in the education because we create courses. We create educational courses under FEA. I know this is highly in demand in Asia, so that's what we need to do is to continue creating, updating our courses, bringing it into these countries. And I think the ultimate motive or ultimate goal is actually to make FEA as a recognized education in Asia.
Right.
because I think in fitness industry, the recognition is very important, because all this while, people only recognize Australian and American certification.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you mention Asian, they'll have a second look.
Why do you think that is?
Because fitness industry started from these places.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are the leaders. I mean, it's true, they are the leaders of fitness education. So definitely people were to look up on them. I mean, in fact, over here, we are also a partner of American Council Exercise.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I think Asians should have our own products.
Yeah.
Right? And in a way, we can make Malaysia proud.
Something to be proud of, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be proud of where you've gotten so far, though. I mean, if you look back at 2007 to compare to where you are now, surely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy. As far as I'm concerned, I'm happy. Couldn't ask more other than complaining about the pandemic.
Right. And in terms of like income and finance and staff retention right now, how are you with that? I mean, because a lot of companies that I've spoken to have, you know, had to make some very tough decisions in terms of letting go of staff or putting staff on fewer hours. How are things over with you guys over at FEA and FITM?
Yeah, so for FITM, one of the reason we got through this because we had to lay off nearly half of our manpower.
Mm.
Yeah, so because we couldn't, because we are not a rich company. We are small, like a baby, you know, although we have been there for 13 years. But we have to make very difficult decisions to let go half of our manpower.
Mm.
And one of the good news is that although we let go half of them, the existing or the remaining employees, they're willing to take up more tasks without a higher salary.
Mm.
So they actually love the company that much and actually wanted to help us to get through this period.
And when you were making those decisions, how did it affect you mentally and personally?
Oh, bad. I feel really bad because I know people need to make living, make ends.
Mm.
It's just tough. It's like, do I want to save one or do I want to save the whole company?
Right.
You know, so it's, I mean, I wish I don't have to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's painful.
On the phone line with me just now, I've had Jerry Kantan. He's the co-founder, the managing director, and a fitness educator with FITM and the FEA Group. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.